I want to tell you about a podcast you should check out. It's called Understood Explains. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Urtube, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs. The latest season of Understood Explains covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. As a parent myself of a child who's had an IEP since kindergarten, and he's now a 10th grader, I know how confusing, overwhelming, frustrating, sometimes daunting the whole process can be. I checked out an episode of Understood Explains called The Difference Between IEPs and 504 Plans. And what I love about it is how easily Juliana explains everything. She answers common questions that probably every parent or caregiver has. She dispels myths and is concise and to the point. To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains. And there's a direct link in the show notes if you need it.
How we respond to the things that happen to us makes such a huge difference just in the continuous unfolding of our lives.
You're listening to Make Some Noise Podcast, episode number 590 with guest Casey O'Rourke. Welcome to Make Some Noise Podcast, your guide for strategies, tools, and insight to empower yourself. I'm your host, Andrea Owen, global speaker, entrepreneur, life coach since 2007, and author of 3 books that have been translated into 18 languages and are available in 22 countries. Each week, I'll bring you a guest or a lesson that will help you maximize unshakable confidence, master resilience, and make some noise in your life. You ready? Let's go. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another podcast episode. I'm so glad that you're here. I am really excited for this spring because Write Your Way Through It is coming. It's a new coaching program, group coaching program. We're meeting virtually. It is all about journaling and writing and processing. And this really isn't just about writing. It's about healing and just walking your way through either something that's going on in your life, something that has been going on in your life, or just life in general. Magic happens when women come together in groups, in circles, to share and to be creative together. And I am honored to be able to guide you on this process. So it's going to start the beginning of April. Head on over to AndreaOwen.com/program and you will see a sign up page. And when you sign up there, you're not signing up for the program. You're just signing up to be notified right away when it opens because there'll be a special discount for people who sign up right away. There might be some bonuses. I haven't decided yet. I just am really excited and wanted to make sure that you knew about it right away. And if you're listening to this a little bit later, registration might be open. So the info page might be up and registration might be open. And if you missed it, if you're listening to this too far in the future, sorry, we missed you. Well, there might be a chance to still join us if the program is still going on. Otherwise, there'll be a waiting list sign up form so you can be notified. I'll probably run it every year in the spring and it'll come back around the following year. AndreaOwen.com/program. That's it. That's all the announcements I have. And let's get into today's show. Casey O'Rourke is an expert specifically around raising teenagers. However, we do in this episode get into just life lesson stuff. Life lesson stuff because I also have 2 teenagers. And trust me when I tell you that I have learned so much about myself through raising teenagers. And stay tuned to this episode because almost positive, kind of towards the end, I get a little emotional talking about something as it pertains to raising one of my teens. Something that came up that I didn't realize would happen in raising kids. So stay tuned for that. She's coming up. And before I let you listen to the episode, let me tell you a little bit about our guest today. Casey O'Rourke is a facilitator of personal growth and development. Her work encourages parents of teens to discover the purpose of their journey while also providing them with tools and a shift of mindset that allows them to deepen their relationships with themselves and their families. As a positive discipline trainer since 2007 and certified coach, Casey has led countless groups through workshops and classes that have left them feeling empowered and excited about parenting. She also offers an engaging podcast, live and online classes, and individual coaching at joyfulcourage.com. So without further ado, here is Casey. Casey, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
I'm excited to be here too, because I loved the conversation that we had on your show. And we will, of course, link that in the show notes for any parents out there that are listening. And I know a lot of your work is centered around parenting, and we were chatting beforehand and having this conversation around just relationships in general, because, you know, I know that not all my listeners are parents, and also some people are, you know, empty nesters at this point, and that the train has mostly left the station. But I do want to ask you some questions for the people listening who are parenting, because I've definitely had some people ask me for my like advice about parenting. And I'm like, ma'am, I am not a parenting expert. Like, I have experience. I can tell you how to relationship just in general, but that's definitely not my area of expertise. And so can we talk about teenagers? Like, first and foremost, because selfishly, I have my own. And I know that some of your work is around centering the relationship that you have with your teen. So what does that mean? And what does that look like?
Yeah, well, first of all, I could talk about teenagers all day long. This is what I do. I have a 18-year-old and my daughter will be 21 in about a week, which is wild. And while I kind of have branded myself as a parent coach, really, how I serve people is supporting them and being in relationship with these humans that just happen to be moving through adolescence, which is fertile ground for strengthening your own self-regulation muscles and that inner work. If you haven't already begun, man, raising adolescents is a personal growth and development workshop that you didn't know you signed up for. Mm-hmm. So centering relationship, to me, what that means is, and where that comes from, is this idea that we all want to know, well, what's the tool for, quote, getting them to do the right thing or getting them to do what we want, right? Ultimately, what we see is the right thing. And there really isn't a great answer for that question. What there is, and what I do respond with, is by saying that the relationship that you're nurturing with your teenager or your partner or your colleagues is where you can build influence. Mm-hmm. And influence sometimes is mistaken with, okay, great, so I'm going to have this great relationship, which means they're going to do the right thing. They're going to do what I want them to do. And no, really what it means is you get a seat at the table, meaning you want your voice in your kiddo's head. That is going to come. That's going to be ever more likely the more that you build relationship with them. And when I think about relationship, especially with teenagers, but with everyone, it's taking a look at how the other, you know, are our teens feeling accepted? Do they feel like they can trust us? Do they feel like we're willing to listen? Do they feel criticized? Do they feel like all we want to do is fix things? And I mean, as your listener, you know, listeners, as you're tuning in, you can probably think about relationships where perhaps the feedback has been, God, can you just listen? Mm-hmm. Right? I think about Brené Brown, right? Talking about sitting on the edge of the pit rather than getting in the pit and just being a witness and being an observer and being someone who can support in a way that is able to be received by the other person. So yeah, that relationship piece really is everything. And when the relationship is intact and we have to have hard conversations or we need to set limits and boundaries, it's going to be ever more received in an easygoing way when that relationship is there.
Yeah. I'm kind of shifting gears here, but I'm sure we can bring it back to this conversation. And one of the things that you and I talked about that I said when I was on your show was, as my children have grown up and have become teenagers, I'm noticing that this was not the case when they were younger, but as they've become teens and I've run into challenges in my relationship with them and having to adjust to how they are different now. Mm-hmm. And it kicking up so much of my own stuff with my own parents, especially when I was a teenager, and how much I am having to check myself. And but please, listeners, know that this does not happen in the moment. It happens later when I'm like, oh, I didn't behave the way that I would have liked to, or I avoided that conversation, or, you know, backed out of that when I probably shouldn't have because I'm like reliving old trauma. We watched The Breakfast Club. This was maybe even like a couple of years ago, and I hadn't seen it in decades, probably since like maybe even around the time that I definitely hadn't seen it, at least since the 90s. And the part where they're kind of sitting in a circle talking, and Ally Sheedy's character, she was kind of the weirdo that wore the black sweater.
Emo. Mm-hmm.
Yes, the emo girl. And what's his toes? Emilio Estevez, his character, mm-hmm. says something, like asks her about her parents. And he's like, what did they hit you? Or what did they, you know, do something like that? And she goes, no, they just ignored me. And that, I was like, I don't remember having that kind of like physiological reaction when I saw it, even when I was a teenager, mm-hmm. but I felt it now. And like my mm-hmm. parents totally took care of me. They did. They showed up for me. I got like most everything I wanted, but I never had that like deep relationship where I felt like truly heard and understood. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when I saw that movie and I saw that scene, I was like, I want that for my kids. Like, I want them to feel seen and understood. I don't want them to feel like we just lived on the surface of their life.
And I think that's new. I mean, I think that's Jen. What's that?
Turning into a therapy session.
Let's go deeper. That is new. For those of us that have been moving through raising adolescents probably over the last 10 or so years and beyond, like I don't think it was on our parents' minds.
Oh.
You know, like generationally, that wasn't a thing. I mean,
absolutely not.
And it's amazing. And I'm so grateful for this time period. And it's fucking a lot of work. Sorry, can I swear?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
It can be really exhausting. And I think it can kind of start to feel like a trap, because I think what was instilled in many of us is doing things right. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, perfectionism. And I know for me, there's a lot of people pleasing that I continue to dismantle. And so now I'm in this relationship with these growing young people, and it is so messy. And adolescence, like, if you wanted to know my pillar, here's another pillar. Mm-hmm. Adolescence is messy. Like, mm-hmm. this is a messy season of parenting, and it doesn't matter who you are and what you're doing and how you're responding to it. And the messiness is not an indicator that you're doing it wrong or that you're a bad parent. It's just the terrain. Mm-hmm. The terrain is so messy. And I think for us, right, Gen Xers, we're very aware, right? We're ever more aware in our quest for continuous personal growth. Mm-hmm. We feel the messy, and it's hard. You know, we can't just stuff it, right? Or get rid of it. It's right there at the surface. And so we've really got to sit in it. And it's hard to sit in that.
It is hard. And I think you're right that a lot of us, I mean, even the baby boomers listening to this, and I know there's a lot there, I have a large millennial audience. I think it was especially elder millennials. It's a very similar parenting style where our parents were absolutely doing the best that they could. They had the tools that they had, and they mostly raised us how they were raised. And so I think it wasn't until the millennial generation got a little bit older where therapy was even starting to be normalized. I think if generally speaking, Generation Z is the one where it's like normalized. Yes.
Yeah.
And now it's going into companies, which I'm so happy for. But yeah, I think it's been tricky to not only parent in the digital age,
God, don't even get me started. Oh my God.
So like
such a shit show.
Having to try to parent on an emotional level when we really don't even have a model for that. Like, what does that actually mean? And maybe that's the next conversation. Like, what does it mean to actually like, quote unquote, not ignore your kids, to show up for them and truly, truly see and listen to them. What that looks like to me, like from an actionable standpoint, is for one, empathizing.
Mm-hmm.
Like when, and this can be for anyone, not just children, like when your best friend or your colleague or your partner comes to you with a problem that they have, and this is a lot of the work that I do, is well, first ask them like how, especially if it's an adult to adult, like how do you want me to support you right now, instead of just like trying to fix it or give them a pep talk automatically or tell them it's not that bad or be dismissive or change the subject or whatever. But with children, I have found that pausing, because I want to make it all go away.
Of course. We love them. We don't want them to be in pain and suffering. Yeah.
Just empathizing.
Yeah. Empathizing is huge. And I think that some of the tools that we talk about, that I talk about, yes, empathy, yes, validating, yes, curiosity. And what I've noticed, especially with adolescents and definitely with adults, is when you hold those things as tactics or tools, they're not useful. But when you can really generate and animate curiosity, like, tell me, I really want to know your experience, right? Or that sounds so difficult, right? I'm seeing you inside of this, and I can imagine that that's a really tough thing to move through, right? And, you know, I think about Dr. Becky saying, I believe you. I believe that this is a challenge for you. And I think especially for teens and adolescents, they get dismissed left and right. You know, the way that we hold teenagers is so discouraging to them.
They get
and
a bad rap, I think.
They do. I mean, we all move. It's such a funky time, right? Like, 100%. Oh my gosh, it's such a bizarre time. But I'll tell you something that really helps me. My daughter, who's 20, you know, she said to me, you know, because she is pro therapy. She's loves her therapist. I love her therapist. She's been so supported over the years. And it's interesting too. While I love it, I also notice when things come up in our conversations where I'm like, well, look at that. Must have talked about that with her therapist, you know, and I'm a little bristly, right? Because it is hard to be held accountable for my less than brilliant moments. One of the things she recently said was, you know, I'm going to be 21, Mom. And when I turn 21, I'd really like for you to treat me like an adult. And I said, or instead of your kid. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, okay. Well, you're always going to be my kid.
Yeah, like,
so that's going to be tricky. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and that's exactly what I said. I said, what does that mean to you? What is that going to look like? And she was like, I don't know. I was like, okay. And so the next day in my little morning ritual that I do, I was thinking, it was really on my mind. And I thought to myself, I remembered being 20 and I thought about what I needed from the adults in my life. And I just made a bullet point list. I thought, I wonder if this will be relatable to Rowan, my daughter. And so I texted it to her. I said, hey, I did some journaling. I'm wondering if this is what it looks like to you to be treated like an adult. And all she texted back was, you're awesome, you know, and hearted the text. And so I think a lot of what we can resource so much when we go inside of ourselves and are curious about, what did I need? What do I need in relationship? What do I need at work? What do I need in partnership? And I think there is so much wisdom there. And we don't always go there, right? We're often looking for these external, often quick and tidy fixes. Mm-hmm. Like, I would love for everything to be neat and tidy with a little bow. Typically not the way the world works. Right. But yeah, what do you think about that?
I have thoughts, but we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you when I have another question. So be right back.
There's definitely been times in my life where my paycheck ran out before I got paid again, and I wish I could have accessed my next paycheck a few days before I was due to get it. Well, what if I told you that can happen with Earnin? Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. You can use Earnin for anything you need to, therapy visits, rent, or even extra self-help books. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Noise under podcast when you sign up. It really helps the show. Noise under podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Trying to find the perfect gift for someone special in your life, maybe for Mother's Day, but feeling overwhelmed? Finding a unique gift that they'll love, that's personal and that they won't already have, can be the ultimate challenge. That's why I'm so excited I've discovered Songfinch. It's an amazing, thoughtful gift, and it's easy and fun to make. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. I had Songfinch make me a song about my dad, which was a gift to myself. This was such a personal song for me, and I was a little skeptical the artist could capture the emotion I wanted. But during the process, they have you share some personal details about your relationship with the person you're creating the song for. Then a Songfinch musician of your choice, you get to pick based on samples they have, will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days. I love my song so much. I was so emotional when I listened to it. I had no changes. It's perfect. Whether your song is for Father's Day, an upcoming graduation, wedding, or anniversary, or even just a gift to show your loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in one of Songfinch's top artists. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/noise and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, my URL is songfinch.com/noise. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/noise. Okay. I love that story that you told. And it reminds me of, well, a couple of things. I don't know. My kids were probably like still in elementary school where I realized, and I thought, okay, it doesn't matter. Cause I was trying to like be a mom where be the best mom to where my kids never had to talk about me in therapy. And then I realized, and this came from like having conversations with my own mom about things that she didn't like, things that impacted me that she had no memory of, mm-hmm. or things that impacted me where she had a memory of it and it had gone sideways or something. You know what I mean? And I'm like, oh, you can have the best of intentions and you can like read all the parenting books and think that you did the best job, but your child might experience it completely differently. And so no matter how good you, how well you try, your kids are going to end up talking about you in therapy no matter what.
Yeah.
So just like there's
give them permission.
Exactly. And I think one of the things that has been helpful to me, and I think that this sort of is indirectly related to what you were just talking about with the list that you give, and then also just like the curiosity and all of that. One of the things that seasoned parents have told me, especially as I'm navigating kind of I'm going through a divorce and it's been complicated with one of my children, is the people who have like older teens or, you know, kids in their 20s and beyond, they've said, it's the long game.
Yes.
You're playing the long game right now. Especially I think if you have like tweens or younger teens, the things that you do where you're showing up for them consistently, where you're being open-minded, where you're showing up with curiosity. And because my rule of thumb now is I am trying to show up as I wished that my own parents would have showed up for me in the same situation. Like, mm-hmm. what does that look like? And I'm not going to see positive results right away.
Right.
They're not going to turn, my kids aren't going to turn around at 14 years old and be like, thank you so much for this. Like, yeah. It's all fixed now.
Yeah.
But it's been like 6 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, big time. The long game is everything because we only have this relatively short period of time of childhood and them being in our care. And then we have this hopefully long period of time. Mm-hmm. What do we want that relationship to look like? Because yeah. how we're responding right now, and I'm sure that there are some of you that are listening who are really, if you are a parent of a teenager, it might be pretty bleak. Mm-hmm. Like it got dark over here in our family system, and showing up well doesn't necessarily avoid the hard, you know, make it so that the hard stuff doesn't happen. It makes it so when you get to the other side and there is that capacity for reflection, our young 20-somethings can turn to us and say, man, you just kept showing up. And mm-hmm. and thank you for that. And I've heard that from my daughter. And that's like the best feedback ever, right? Didn't get it right all the time. Definitely lost my shit plenty and continue to be willing every single day to, mm-hmm. to practice and show up well. But absolutely, this is the long game. This is the long game. And something that you said, which I loved about like how we remember versus how our kids might remember, is one of the things that our my husband and I's couples counselor mm-hmm. talks about is equally valid separate realities, mm. right? And that helps me in my relationship with my parents and their recollection yeah. of how things went down. And it helps me with my relationship with my kids and how they remember, right? Just keeping in mind, we're all having these equally valid separate realities, and we just get to respect that, right? And
yeah,
build the skills to be with somebody else's experience, even when perhaps it wasn't the intention or the impact that we meant to have.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really hard.
That is, I think, personally, one of the hardest things ever in my life. And I haven't even experienced it that much, but I think about parents who, you know, like you'll hear a kid talking about their experience and then the parent saying, like, to me, that is wildly inaccurate. Like, that is not what happened. They're more and less like calling the person a liar. And then I'm kind of like, well, that to navigate that. And then it's like trying to set boundaries. And it's like, oof, I wouldn't wish that on anyone. That is some PhD level personal development work right there.
Right. But that's also where this work on relationship starts to really make an impact. Mm-hmm. Right. Because when we, and I think it's a lot of it has to do with, one, I invite my clients to ask, like, what is your experience of me, right? Whether it was a specific interaction that we've had or a particular topic that comes up that's tricky, like, what do you notice about me when we try to have this conversation, right? And how can I grow to show up to this conversation in a way that makes it easier for you to receive or you to participate in, mm-hmm. right? So we are the adults, right? So we do get to take some ownership and to really be a little bit more flexible around growing inside of that role. And what we're doing also is we're sending this message of, it matters to me how you experience me. And in your opinion of it, your experience of it is valid. Mm-hmm. Right. And so let's play with this. And by the way, here's what I need.
Yeah.
Right. And can we both meet in a new place? I see you and I love you and I see that this is hard. So, and I think that's where the gap between my experience and your experience can kind of narrow mm-hmm. when we can grow in that mutually respectful relationship.
Well, that's a good segue, I think, because I wanted to ask you about regulation. I know you talk about that in your work, and you know, you mentioned it a little bit to look inward with ourselves. And by regulation, do you mean emotional regulation?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean emotional regulation. I mean like that physical sensation. You know, I feel like tuning into the physical sensations in our body is such a powerful entry point, mm-hmm. right? And I think we in general, people don't really pay attention. Otherwise, maybe there wouldn't be so much disease. Mm-hmm. We don't pay attention to our bodies, but our bodies are constantly giving us information. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's hard to talk ourselves off the ledge, right? Sometimes it's hard to let go of, yeah, but they just did this thing, whether it's another adult or our teens. And man, I am justified in feeling pissed and letting them have it, right? So it's hard sometimes to talk ourselves out of that, but an easier, when we practice, when we're willing to practice, an easier entry point is, you know what? Maybe I can't change my mind, but I sure can shift the way that I'm breathing, the way that I'm holding my body. And we can start with soothing the nervous system and finding some calm in the body. And then there's this opening towards, okay, do I need to be freaking out right now? Mm-hmm. Can I take a broader perspective of this? Can I take a look at how I'm responding? And is this good for the long game? Or is this going to get in the way of the long game?
Yeah.
So yeah, when I think about regulation and self-regulation for the parent or for the, you know, personal self-regulation, is it's always going to be a better outcome mm-hmm. when we're in communication, when we're relating to somebody else from a place of just more neutrality.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So that's how I talk about it and think about it.
I love that. And it reminds me of, you know, as I navigate this unraveling of a 15-year marriage, noticing my own triggers, you know, as they get kicked up, as I'm having really hard conversations and navigating conversations I've never even had before about, you know, legalities and things like that. And luckily, because I've been doing this work for so long, I now notice when my body goes into fight or flight. And I had a therapist a few years ago who said that most of us are walking through life just like one trauma response after the other, like mm-hmm. unconsciously. Yeah. And it's normal, you know, whether it's a big trauma or little trauma, our body remembers and gives us information. And it's many times like through physiological reactions, different sensations and things like that. And so now that I notice them faster, it's a little bit of like a love-hate relationship I have with that, because I feel like the more I notice them, the more I'm feeling them. I got really good at just ignoring it. And I'm like, mm-hmm. you know, but then it was manifesting in other ways, like massive anxiety, ADHD symptoms, insomnia.
Yeah, the universe is like, you will not ignore me.
Autoimmune disorder. You know, it's like it eventually caught up with me. Now, my point is that when I notice these things, I start to notice patterns. And mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, there's a pattern with this one particular thought that I'm having or this one behavior that I'm having. Like, for example, I realized this is like indirectly related, but my body and my mind think that it's not real love unless I have to chase it or beg for it, especially from a man. And like when I had that realization, I was on a hike and like I had to stop. And I was like, oh my God, I'm 40 fucking 8 years old. And this is what I have known my entire life. And this has been a pattern in my life. Mm. And then I get to be like, okay, well, how do I want to not do that anymore? And it feels like, again, like such a, like I'm learning a foreign language, like, oh, there's another way. And I think that, you know, we can do that with parenting. We can do that in our relationships at work. Mm-hmm. Our relationships with our partner. I kind of brought you through like the entire sort of timeline of like what, what growth looks like.
Well, and I love this conversation, that pattern piece, because, and you tell me, right? Like, let's play with this a little bit. So when we start to discover like, oh, I have this belief, mm-hmm. right? I have this pattern. I start to notice, okay, what does my body feel like when I'm there? What are the thought processes? What is the emotion that accompanies this, so that I can be ever more clear on the indicators that mm-hmm. like, oh, of course, this is how I'm responding to this thing. Mm-hmm. Of course. And, you know, then there's that state shift, right? That pulling back pulling back the shoulders, finding some breath and wondering, asking you, so what is the belief that you want to hold about mm-hmm. love, mm-hmm. right? And because you said, like, how do I shift this? So how are you working towards shifting that?
Well, and this is why I'm so interested in psychedelics.
Yeah.
which is a whole different conversation.
That is.
Are you interested in that too?
Am I interested in psychedelics?
As like personal development work. I'm obsessed with learning about it. I haven't done it.
So many responses to that question. I have been a recreational psychedelic user in my lifetime. Am I open to that? I'm interested in it. And I have family members who have, used microdosing mm-hmm. to support with personal growth. Absolutely. Totally. Yeah. I think it's an exciting
industry
area. Yeah.
Well, so personally, I'm somebody who's been in recovery for 12 years. And so I've always been interested in it. And I dabbled in psychedelics in the 90s when I was in my 20s. And it was just, I mean, it was not for therapeutic purposes, but I always had a damn good time. I never had a bad trip.
Sure.
And I was around people that, you know, supported me. And so it was fun. And then now, as I've gotten more into this work, and I'll use myself as an example, that story I just told. Cognitively, logically, I know that that's not true. I know that to have like real trust and intimacy and connection and love, mm-hmm. like you don't need to be chasing it. Like you don't need to be begging for it. It's just a pattern I have created from when I was young and in both of my marriages. And like, here I am. So it's a pattern that has been embedded into my subconscious. And it's this, and I know the people listening like understand this. It's a weird place to be, this sort of like cognitive dissonance of like, okay, I know that's not true. And I want to make different choices in love and in my relationships. And I know also like I am a goddamn prize. Like, are you kidding me? Like, I am fun and I love my face off. And I'm a catch. Like, I know that I am. So why, why can I not convince my nervous system, you know, of this truth? And so that's where, you know, the more research I do, like that's where psychedelics come into play, because it like sort of cracks open your subconscious and allows you to have these experiences, these brain experiences really. And I'm probably not explaining it very well. And again, I haven't experienced it yet, but I've listened to a lot of people. I'm actually going to have a guest on who he has done a lot of this work. And I'm like, I want to know, like, tell me,
how did you
heal yourself this way? And so you get kind of cracked open so that you can like relive certain experiences, so that you can like understand the how to basically rewire your nervous system. So you don't have these deep beliefs anymore. It's like, that's honestly, my career is just a selfish quest to heal myself. So like, thanks for coming along, everybody.
Yeah. I feel the same way. That's so funny. I'm here for you, but really I'm here for me.
It's really all about me. Glad you could come along. Yeah. No, I've been on this like quest to try to heal myself. So yeah, it continues.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and there's so many, I just feel like there's so many, and I was just, you know, supporting a really good friend of mine who's also going through a divorce and is just devastated. She can't quite, you know, it's just so interesting to, there's all sorts of things that unfold in life. Do you follow Carolyn Meese? Do you know Carolyn Meese?
Yes, she was one of the very first people that I followed when I was going through my first divorce and started this whole journey.
Well, I love her work around sacred contracts and the idea that we sit down at the cosmic table and all of our spirit family sits down with us and we're like, okay, I'm going back in.
Yeah.
And here's the lesson. And people are like, okay, great. I'm going to be your first husband. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. I'm going to be your teenage mm-hmm. daughter. I'm in service to you, even as I present as, you know, an overly controlling parent or a narcissistic partner or whatever. It's all in service. And I don't want to make light, because I know that so many people go through really deep traumas and nobody asks for that.
Nobody.
And that being said, how we respond to the things that happen to us makes such a huge difference just in the continuous unfolding of our lives. Mm-hmm. Right. And we get to be in our emotion and we get to be in the darkness and have those, you know, dark nights of the soul on the bathroom floor. And we also get to get up and get help and be willing to be seen. And, you know, life offers so many opportunities. I mean, we had mental health breakdowns in my family. My husband, you know, a month into COVID was diagnosed with blood cancer. Mm. That was crazy. And, you know, we've moved through. He's good now. He's healthy now, which is, you know, what would I be saying right now if that wasn't the case? I don't, you know, that would be interesting. But there's been so much expansion because of what's been hard. And I'm grateful for that expansion.
Okay. Thank you for all of that. And also thank you for touching on, you know, that no one manifests anything. And I appreciate that. We're going to take a quick one last break. And I want to touch back on this. Be right back.
Well, hey there, busy mama. Are you looking for ways to make your life easier, your home less chaotic, and at the same time, add more joy to your life? My name is Deanna Yates, and I'm the host of Wanna Be Clutter Free, a podcast all about letting go of the stuff we don't need in our lives so that we can focus on what truly matters. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you to throw it all away or make you feel guilty about keeping something you love, no matter how many other people don't quite understand it. But I will give you practical and, more importantly, actionable advice so that you can make progress right away. And you won't just hear it from me. There are amazing guests, too. It's like having your bestie in your pocket, telling you it's okay to let go of the things that are not serving you and your family in a totally non-judgmental way. So join me over on the podcast where we can work on progress over perfection for those of us that want to be clutter-free.
Oh, hey, everybody. It's us, Blair and Molly, your old pals from Toddler Purgatory, two moms who are also actors, who are also creative beings, who sometimes feel stuck.
And now we're back with a whole new podcast about unsticking it, launching in January. What happens when life gets in the way of our creativity instead of nourishing it?
We talk to all sorts of guests about how to break through the mucky, gluey, sticky wall that can get between you and your creativity. We hear about their journeys, their successes, their challenges, and even their bougie coffee shop orders.
So join us, won't you, as we deep dive into how to unstick ourselves from the life gunk that can get in the way of our creative freedom.
Get out of there, life gunk.
Let us help you get back to your best creative self. Look for Unsticking It with Blair and Molly.
Wherever you listen to podcasts, starting in January.
Unsticking It with Blair and Molly. Because sometimes life sucks.
Unsticking it.
It reminds me of, have you heard of the Gene Keys?
No.
Okay. A former client of me has been telling me about it. And she did, directly related to your horoscope and things like that.
Cool.
But there's these particular, you know, the date and time and place you were born. They can specifically pinpoint what is like the main life lesson you were here to learn.
Is it Gene, G-E-N-E?
G-E-N-E, yes, Gene Keys.
I'm so Googling that.
And yes, you can. I think my client's getting certified in it, so I should have her come on and talk about it.
Yes, please do.
I don't want to say her name yet, just in case she doesn't want to be known for that, but she did my birth chart, and the way, Casey, when I tell you I laughed so hard when she came back and said that my life lesson is detachment. And I said, you've got to be fucking kidding me, because I am attached.
You wouldn't believe. Oh my God. Don't we both have the same tattoo? I feel like we both
surrender?
Have the same. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Surrender attachment, girls.
Well, there's like
Hello.
Four different lessons. And there's like, one is like your main life lesson. And then it was a little confusing and I had to walk away from it because I'm in the midst of all this mess. But anyway, I'm going to return back to that work. But I mean, even if it's just a bunch of hogwash and like whatever, I think it's fun and interesting.
It's a lens. It's a lens. To look look at your life through.
Mm-hmm. So detachment. And that's my lesson of like learning to detach from situations, from outcomes, from people. It was the kind of laugh where you're just like, fuck off, universe.
Totally. That's what I say to my
cruel
couples
joke.
Counselor. I'm always like, fuck you, Connie.
Yeah. The cruel joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our life's work, being in relationship with people has been such a mirror for for myself, you know, like whether it's my children or partners or even, you know, colleagues and things like that, like having to really take a good look at yourself in several aspects, you know, like boundaries and like what are healthy boundaries and like having hard conversations and noticing when you get triggered and then also allowing yourself to evolve, you know, like what was okay at one time in my life might not be okay at this point and it might just be temporary. And yeah, I think that life is hard. That's that. I don't have anything more than that.
Right. And the human experience is, I feel like our humanness just makes it harder.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
especially if you, I think, are an attached person like you and me, which I know a lot of my listeners are like raising their hand.
Yeah.
Feeling attached.
Yeah. And there's a million opportunities that just keep coming at us to practice that lesson of detachment. Mm-hmm. And we can either notice them. And some days I'm way better at like, all right, here it is. Here's another chance to detach or surrender for me, you know? And other times I'm like, you know, screw it. I'm tired.
Right. Well, and I've especially been having a hard time with this lesson. And so many of my friends have, the ones I go crying to when one of my teenagers behaves in a way that is not my favorite. And I have totally taking it personally. And they're like, Andrea, one of my friends says, stop falling on that sword. Stop falling on that sword. Like, it is not about you. Mm-hmm. They are X years old.
Yep.
And they'll like be like, that's actually on par for what is my favorite one? It's actually on par for the developmental age. And I'm
you are not
hate me. I'm a terrible mother.
You are not the star of their movie. Yeah. As it like we are not the stars. We are like such background characters, you know, and yet we're like, we put ourselves right in the middle of it for 100%. Sure. I get it. Rowan got really good at saying, this isn't about you, Mom. Like, okay, thanks for the reminder.
Before we go, is there anything else that you think that would be helpful to my audience in terms of just, you know, like general life stuff that you have gained from the work that you do in the world?
You know, as much as like life is hard and our humanness can be so messy, I also just think, what a gift, what a good time also we get to have in so many different ways. And, you know, my business is called Joyful Courage, and I really seek out opportunities to just marinate in joy. And I just recently was in Oakland for some concerts and this particular band that I love to go see. And I just had this moment of, yes, how can I continue to create or at least land myself in experiences of collective joy, because, you know, it's like a refuel for the soul.
Yeah.
It's a refuel for the soul. So seeking that out, I think, is so important. And it's not just our teenagers that we don't need to take things personally. Like, if we can be in the practice of recognizing everyone is the star of their own movie, and we are just co-stars in a lot of these relationships that we're a part of, and to remember to tend to ourselves and put at least as much energy in tending to ourselves as we do in trying to figure out, you know, why everybody's trying to drive us crazy, I think we're going to be in pretty good shape.
100% Yeah. Thank you so much for that. What was the concert? Was it Fish?
No, it was the String Cheese Incident. Are you familiar with
that band?
They are also a jam band similar to Fish.
Okay. Yes.
They're a total hippie jam band.
Okay.
And it was so fun. Oh my gosh.
That's so awesome.
Multiple moments where I just was like, okay, just going to pause for a second and really notice how I feel right now, because this is just electric, you know, just felt so good. Yeah, totally. Yeah,
I do that too. I've done that as I've gotten a little bit older. It's just like take snapshots of, I've done it a lot in as a parent. And also I think that's why I love weddings so much. I figured out it's just like that collective joy and just like people on the dance floor of all ages and all different families. And that is my absolute favorite. Like, I could eat that for breakfast every day.
Me too.
Okay. Thank you so much. Where can people find you to learn more about you and your work?
Yeah. Well, the best place to go would be my website, which is actually called besproutable.com/teens. So I'm a part of a team of people that work with parents, and my colleagues cover the younger years. I'm the teen lead. So that's a great place to go. And I'm joyful_courage on Instagram. Mm-hmm. I have a Facebook group, Joyful Courage for Parents of Teens. And that's the name of my pod. So wherever you're listening to this show, you can search Joyful Courage and you'll find me.
Amazing. Yes, yeah. I follow you over on Instagram too. I like your posts. So
yay.
Listeners, thank you so much for joining us. I know how precious your time is, and I appreciate that you choose to spend it with me and my guests. And remember, it's our life's journey to make ourselves better humans and our life's responsibility to make the world a better place. Bye for now. Hey, did you know there's free secret podcast episodes waiting for you that are not part of my regular podcast feed? Yes. AndreaOwen.com/free. And you just sign up. You get a link sent to you. It's very secret. It's like a secret club. We don't have a secret handshake. Don't worry about that. But it's these motivating podcast episodes that I made for you. They're under 20 minutes each. There's 3 of them. They're for wherever you are in your life. So head on over there and grab them. They range from really supporting you and seeing you where you are and being compassionate, all the way to giving you a giant kick in your ass and telling you how amazing and gorgeous and phenomenal you are. So AndreaOwen.com/free and get your hands on that free podcast feed.
I'm Margaret.
And I'm Amy.
And together we host the podcast, What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Motherhood.
Margaret, I would say you're sort of a where are my keys kind of mom.
Correct. Sometimes a where are my kids kind of mom. While you're, Amy, more of a we were supposed to leave 35 seconds ago, mom.
I mean, touche. In each episode of What Fresh Hell, we come at a topic from our usually completely opposite perspectives. I bring the research.
And I bring kind of the gimlet eye. Like, is that research really going to work, people?
And almost 10 million downloads later, we're still laughing.
We also talk to experts in the parenting field, plus parents with stories we can all learn from.
We make each other laugh, we challenge each other's assumptions, and we have what we think is the best parenting community on the internet.
Check out What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood, wherever you listen to podcasts.